Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. We're going to have a program that Brother Ismael Kadar did, New Africa. We're going to continue this program, and we're going to replay it for you. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. You're listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive, New Africa Mondays. I'm in the city of Philadelphia today on my way to New York. By Liberty Bell, very special show. I call this the Progress Report. This is New Africa Mondays. We had some technical difficulties at starting the show, but now we are back in full effect. The show has begun. I'm your guest host, Ismael Kadar. We have a special guest, you know, not really say really special guest. He's the show with me, our brother Imam Mujahideen Muhammad. He will be coming in and out time to time. He's handling a lot of the technical aspects of the show. And I wanted to first start with the greetings of peace as we begin our show, thankful, regardful for the Lord, the one who created us all. First one is acknowledge that. And also we're going to acknowledge our noble audience and honorable audience members for listening for another edition of Religion Means Alive. You could be doing anything today. We acknowledge that you're with us, enjoying your time. But more importantly, constructive time. Constructive time is a new day, new Africa. We are new people. So in that new day, we have a lot of excitement and opportunities that we want to be sure we are conscious of, because if we're not too conscious, we will miss the opportunities and we won't be able to utilize the opportunities and the skill set. Now, you can hear me. I'm outside. I'm doing a lot of things in and out. But I first want to say that today that we are conscious of our progress in the United States of America. They got me over here as Imam Ismael. And then I thank you for that title. We should know that Imam is a very important title. But also, more important, is the title that we have as human. And so I'm in my human nature. That's every Imam is supposed to be aiding that nature, that human nature, that human excellence, and have sensitivities that drive us and encourage us, such as a mother, in a sense. It protects us as a father, as a leader. To see what's coming at the people, to see things from far high from what's going on with the people, but also what's going on. Let me check. I have a call. See if they may want to say a few things on Religion Means Alive. See if I get them in. 908? Yes? You on Religion Means Alive? 463? Okay, I guess we have a mute for a second as we get everything else going. But first, I wanted to say to that we are to, as leadership, to aid the progress of the people. We should see ourselves as service. And we have a few updates. I have a few progress reports. Anytime you haven't seen us, it's because we've been very busy trying to utilize our time, trying to move forward. Have businesses that try to create opportunity in our neighborhood and create opportunity in the shared freedom space by going into New Africa, accepting our responsibility to create a new environment. And Imam Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, our leader, has given us keywords to create us a new language environment, an environment he woke us up. And actually, Scripture is really giving us a whole new language environment, word environment. So we know that New Africa is a very new word to most of our people. in this environment that we most of us call ghettos, some of us call inner cities, of us call industrial areas, rural areas, all these areas we have. But we know that we're going to develop them into a new Africa. But new Africa is also a sense of existence in these shores, the United States of America, and that's why I spend a lot of my show dealing with the infrastructure of the United States, some of the lessons that we can learn from slavery to also the infrastructure of the country itself. Many of us speak about the country. We pledge allegiance and all these things, look at the flag. A lot of us haven't even studied the infrastructure of this country. And it's important that we get in tune with key events, psychoanalysts, and also things that have helped us move forward and some of the things that has made us dwell behind as we talk about our country. So we want everyone in New Africa to understand that we are definitely in tune with the progress that we have made here as United States of American citizens. But we share the heritage of our mother continent, Africa. But we are not just existing in the same understanding of Africa, the same perception of ourselves. We have a new perception of ourselves. We have a new environment. And this is going to create a new situation for us. And we really want to make sure we capitalize. So let me first give you a progress report. When I start off with the mosque cares, we were honored to attend in New York. The mosque cares came. And we were with the Religion of Peace, and it was a beautiful, a very beautiful environment of religious leaders working towards problems in the world, stereotypes, Muslim leaders and Christian leaders coming together in resilience and really going past, I would say, just talk and working together and trying to create opportunities together, shared freedom space. It was excellent to attend. I had the privilege to be there with our brother and president of Mosque Cares, Wallace Muhammad II, Waruthuddin Muhammad II. Very great time I had. And then also, rallying up for convention, Claim Your Inheritance, hoping to be in 50 states, tour, and all the youth and the support and the adults. We have that, and before that, we have Ramadan session. So I wanted to acknowledge these announcements because they're very important that we come out and support our community, support. We have the longest history here, indigenous community in America. It's important that we acknowledge that work that Imam W.D. Muhammad, our leader, put in. And these events, strategic, signal us staying together and having days that we come together in serious manners and community life settings. But we know we also are gradually going to a situation where our neighborhoods, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, Harlem, New Jersey, Newark, Philadelphia, Maryland, D.C., are naked. Just like we say in a woman, you know, we would say a woman that's naked, we would almost say that, wow, could put some clothes on. Well, our environment is naked. We're looking for opportunity. Many of us don't have jobs. Many of us are not cultivated. And I said another thing about slavery is if you don't have a relationship with the environment, you find yourself in a bad situation. You find yourself in a situation looking to be cultivated or looking to have no exchange with the resources, have no relationship with your own resources. And we find ourselves in the neighborhood staring at objects such as cherry trees and the sky sometimes. We don't find ourselves really utilizing creation itself. And so that's important for us to understand that New Africa is the utilization of our resources to utilize to also make progress and aid and help and assist. We should be able to assist resources ourselves. So we want to assist our resources. And a lot of our people, we work for people, we have degrees, functioning degrees and reasoning, but we have yet to utilize our degrees really to work for our corporations that I talk about all the time on this, in this call. So we have to understand that, I just say that we should become more aware consciousness of our power. We should have consciousness in our power. Now, what is our power? Well, look at Shared Freedom Space. Look at our power that we turn the lights on as human beings. Do you know most of us, if we didn't have someone by our power plant, get power? Power itself, not the power, just power to the people. But power itself is a shared responsibility. And most of us who want to isolate ourselves, we become victimized of not sharing responsibility or not being able to be partake in the responsible activities of running a civilized world or neighborhood. Now, the slave environment and other environments have made us be spectators. Now, they say Islam is not a spectator sport, a spectator religion, but they get that from the spectator sport. But it, we should understand that God said he has made his khalifa, he has made his inheritor. We are the warathuddin of the community, of the warathuddin inheritors, when Allah's attributes, warathuddin, inheritors of the religion, inheritors of this day, of that, even use day of religion, day of science. There's all these words, signal in the deen. And the last day, right? As we meeting the last, but we should understand that we have inherited a great station, a great message, a great power. And one of the great powers that we should see is the fact that we live in a communal, man's final destiny is to see man in his natural sense. Man has to live in an environment that invites man. See, man has to live in an environment that invites man to not just be man in his, I would say, natural state. It's just natural. Natural state is very key, but we can use natural. Some would say animal. I use natural, but many would use animalistic state. Well, the first function of man in his would be the, for cravings. Will be cravings, you know, his food, and he needs an environment for his food, his resources. But when man has a higher awakening of his possibilities, his conscious, his, we use consciousness, but we know that man is Adam to be mind, to be mindful. Our father was mindful. He utilized his mind. He was able to give the names and the rationality of the names. So we want to be mindful that we as human beings have a higher call than most of even the angels. We have a higher station because the angels are disobedient. We are able to utilize the mind that God gave us in creation, on the we call will, freedom that exists, a freedom to make mistakes and learn from our mistakes. That's a freedom. That's a very big freedom. And not a freedom to have knowledge, to gain knowledge, to gain wisdom, to gain understanding from our mistakes, and also from God, the enlightenment of God. So we have this freedom, and I wanted to tell you today, because I'm back on Religion Means Alive, been gone for a minute, that we are to utilize and invite people in this conscious state that we are in, our music, our intelligence, our culture, our environment. We want to have an environment that welcomes mankind. Point blank, many of us have been taken away from this power And they are doing more to subject us to be afraid of each other as human beings. And there are more limited groups coming into power that are doing things to encourage, discourage us from being accepted, to try to discourage us from being elevated, to make decisions for the whole society. But as you grow like the toilet bowl is something that all society can use and utilize. So that's how God's creation is. Most of all can utilize water. Mostly all of us can utilize the plants. But in that is good and bad. Those who do bad and those who do good. Now that's part of the freedom of nature, freedom of world that man has. So we have to have a conscious state that we grow to as human beings. But the Muslim is to stand this freedom. The Muslim is to understand this freedom. And many of our neighbors, we don't have that freedom. Our leaders even are not yet in the freedom space. They're in the hurt face. They're in resented. They're resented. And I understand their pain. I'm not here to discredit their pain. But I know that we will never become alive until we fight the new freedom. That's what we created in Philadelphia, a new freedom district. A new freedom has to be measured. And President Obama is part of a new freedom. God has allowed him to come into a position in this country. And this country, he recognizes that he's not just the leader of African-American people, he's the leader of the people. That should be a very encouraging sign to us that we are to be managing and utilizing first our neighborhood, but we can grow into an example like the toilet bowl to be utilized by others. The highest freedom in humanity to be utilizing areas of this freedom space that others use and others utilize. So we don't want to be subjected to just one sense of freedom, and that's the freedom to protest. That's the freedom when we get knocked down to say, hey, you are stepping on my foot, or Bill, get off my back. We want to be in a freedom, a true natural sense of freedom. Like the pear, like the water. And this freedom can touch all who encompass it, who touch it, the sun, the moon. All those who are under this utilization can get great benefit from this freedom, the freedom of the sun, the freedom of the moon. And to teach, to give light, to give guidance. And we should be that type of way in New Africa. We should be a great light. Don't you know that many of the cities that we have, one of the other terms that they use for the cities, such as Medina, is great cities of light. Great cities of light. And so how should we understand that? We should understand that light doesn't worry about if a person is non-African-American. Light doesn't say if a person is European. Light doesn't say, is a guy Chinese, I turn off the light. No, light welcomes the vision of all subjects that it's under. It's a sign of where humanity should be at. Humanity should be in this light, and God has given us in Scripture as the enlightened ones. But now we find enlightened ones living in darkness together. And God addresses this in our holy book, the Quran. Those who do things in secret, those use their light. Their light is more like going to the forest and thunderclapping. And you can't even see. Every time they're in darkness, they have to pray that the light comes back on for the thunder, the higher light. So their light is not can even lose their vision and enlightenment in their quest for dominance of human beings. So we got to be careful to religious communities that we're not obeying the way of the secret order. And we have Muslims in today's land falling victim to those who are, but not enlightened in the sense of enlightened human beings, looking at the impact that Islam has for the human kingdom and going against that willpower, like Iblis. Going against that freedom. don't want the human beings to have that capacity. Medina was. And going to the best possibility of this kingdom being created in the shores of North America by the slave, descendants of slaves, tainting the ex-slaves' mind. We have a sacred order, not a secret. Okay? Not a secret order, but a sacred order. And it's treasured by God himself. God treasures it. And we should treasure it because God has given us the clues that he has left in humanity and creation, more importantly, more important in creation. But he said, then you are signs also. So is in humanity. Like is you look at the mountains, you look at the stars, and you are similar signs. Look at your heart. Study your brain. Study the water that flows in your brain. And you will see that these signs are more universal than color. These signs are more universal than color consciousness. So the scientist, he doesn't put up an African-American chart. He puts up a universal chart of the human anatomy. Now, he'll talk about our environment, and environment is where things affect us. Well, we have higher kidney problems. We have higher, and it, okay, why? Because the environment. We look at the environment. Not that he has a separate chart for your body. No, a universal chart. But our environment is what has affected us because we have not looked at universal environment. Every city has a downtown, and then when we leave downtown, we go into an environment that makes us almost squirm with our eyesight, if it's where that African-American people live and the Latino people live. Our eyes even squirm. Sometimes we can't see it like the sun. We don't want to see it. Look at it. So we're not becoming enlightened. We're becoming blinded by our environment. Like Medina, to be a city of light. And how should we teach this business leaders? Is this just dealing with industry, industrious pursuit? No, far from it. The children of Adam went into pursuits of industry and fell victim of industry. We want industry to be education. We want to have an educational industrial pursuit. The ability to, if our industry go down tomorrow, to put up a whole new industry. So we don't want to just go into business because of millions of dollars. We want to see the advancement of the psyche in industry. We want to see, don't you know, when they talk, the enlightened ones, they talk about more than money and dollars and billions. They talk more about ages. They talk about the industrial age. And they call this the technological information age. So they're planning in these ages. Because they don't want to be caught in the technological age. They're doing industrial things. And they don't want to be caught in the industrial age and still not functioning to manage their life and industry. So education must be a priority, but it's not a priority of an isolation. Education is not isolated for itself. It's not inclusive. It's not just here for its own dominance. Education is not here just to be a functioning, rhetorical, isolated, egotistical being. Don't you know we had that move in history? We could go to Europe and the kingship. And we could see that education at one point served a lot of allegorical, metaphorical science. It made us feel we had big conversations. Matter of fact, the thing of English, if you study English, American English, there was a tendency for Europeans to speak, and they spoke very eloquent. It was beautiful. It showed they had a high education. But sometimes they would speak so eloquent, they would spend 5-10 minutes just saying hello. So we don't want education to be in that sense. We don't want education to fall in that sense. We don't want to see education in that sense. We want to see education aiding environment justice. Environment justice. Because our environment gives us justice. It's made in balance. The creation itself is made in balance. But we have to been taken away from that balance, so we have to be re-educated in our own nature, our environment that is in ourself, physical creation, and also the environment in ourselves. So we have to address practical solutions. Practical. Not just to the sense of chasing. So that's what we've been doing. Now, here's the progress. I want to give you some good news, brothers and sisters. We've been working in the Promise Zone in Philadelphia, where I'm at right now. Many initiatives. We have found out that it's just a historical district. Going to freedom fighters, Quakers, to freedom fighters of our heritage, Paul Robeson and others, great men that lived in the Promise Zone, worked in the Promise Zone. And we've also been looking at shared freedom space and awakening to NASA and science. And the coming more men of, Imam Muhammad said he wished more of us appreciated science. And it's a great sign to see the youth. The youth advancing and encouraged to learn creation and get with those who utilize and spend time in studying this creation. We will have our own New Africa Space Association soon. You know, the letters seem very well, right? Yeah, studying in creation, studying in technology, studying. Utilizing, and not just to study, we want to utilize. That's what we bring as Muslims. It's important to understand that even though we associate, we have our own function. We bring our own function to the body. God said he made us different to bring us together. So we have to be acknowledged that Muslims have lost some of the things that we hold sacred, as we said, sacred order. So we're looking at space, you know, we're one of the religions that we use the moon to look at Ramadan and our great events. So this study in creation is very important, brothers and sisters. It's not to be capsulized and just put under one label or one organization, but it's very important that we come alive like the followers of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were alive. The greatest minds and thinkers sought after the followers of Muhammad. They changed the postal system, the postal code. So we don't want you to see New Africa as just a Sunday bazaar. This New Africa is not a Sunday bazaar, a flea market, a place you can get some cheap pajama sets. This New Africa is a thinking. And ain't nobody going to dull my sense of thinking. I know what Medina was to be. And Imam Muhammad gave us that example. Don't leave that out, brothers and sisters. I'm leaving that out. Because you want justice. You've been hurt by the white man. You want a sacred land just that you can control. You've been so hurt and so put down so long that you just want a piece of area that you could call yours. Well, God, don't you know, do you think God would give you this type of oppression just so you could finally say, I made it home? No, kidding you also. He was teaching you something about management, mismanagement of the world resources, mismanagement of this kingdom, mismanagement of the world's politics, mismanagement of the world's social order. So you can't just go in there to be happy to get a tent to re-educate. You have a duty, and this is why your covenant is spanking you. Until you get into this new freedom, this new understanding, this new lifeline of progression, you won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to mix even the batter and pancakes for Aunt Jemima. Until you understand and accept your responsibility. And I'm talking for all those in Christianity, those in Islamic movements, until you are African American, unique, accept that your environment has created education, misinformation, and corruption. You won't be able to challenge your environment. And the first environment that we should see as enlightened, as we talked about in the show, scripture, should be the first creation that God has made, that environment, the natural environment, we spend Ramadan, the natural order. And then we should also look at our human environment, our bodies. Don't you know many of you are victims because you're not putting the wrong things in your bodies and minds? You're putting unnatural foods and additives in your environment? If you just woke up to that, you'd be strong. Then you want to vote. But you don't want to have rights. You want to make excuses on why you can't own property, which is a lie. It's a natural environment to rent. That's unnatural. God has made where you put water in the earth, you get land. Now, he didn't tell who owned that land. He said you inherited that land, Khalifa. Now, you should respect the prophet's wisdom. He said, respect the laws of the land. So how do you come into America and not understand what a docket is and parcel of land is and how to great land and how to use your zakat by land from the ground up, not take on a mortgage like these messages are doing, not take on a note like these messages are doing, not just floating around for the whole 365 days of the year, but to own and to be established. God is wants you to be established. In our religion, we have taught that the prayers are established. If you're struggling with your prayer, you're going to be struggling with creation, managing it. Because the prayer are in established time, are in established. The verses in the Quran and in scripture, but Quran is clarifying scripture. Kitab Mubin, book making things clear. The Quran said these are verses based on fundamental established meaning. Meaning this ain't no guesswork. This ain't no jest. This ain't no conjunction. This ain't poetry. This has been tested. This has been, you know what, established a road? It's established what a road. A road has been tested. A bridge has been tested. Computer age, well, we're in the past the exploration age when Bill Gates was in college. We're in the technology age. It's established. It's been tested that the internet works. It's been treasured. So don't you see that the Prophet Muhammad being the last prophet is even showing that he is the established prophet? He's standing on all the principles of the great prophet. But this prophet we sing is going to be showing all humanity the establishment of the model human being and the model community. Through war, went through drought, belief, went through hypocrisy, and still came out victorious. So all you who follow Muhammad, this is my question to all Muslim leaders. How come you're crying with a little turmoil? How come you're crying with a little hypocrisy? How come you're crying with a little disbelief? And most of you ain't even been to no war, Korean War. Your ancestors fought the Civil War. And you ain't even fighting no real war. And you crying that you can't establish yourself in this land? Shame on you, people. And African-Americans who should be studying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W.D. Muhammad, you have been cursed because of one major principle that you've been cursed. You have not welcomed what God has done. You have resisted the help and assistance that God has given you as a people. The great has no resisted. You have made all type of parables. You have made all type of confusion to even confuse yourself. And you don't even know what to do and how to react because you have lost that great help and assistance. You say all the time that God works in mysterious ways, yet when the mystery comes, you want to solve the mystery. When the mystery of help comes, you want to find a solution. You know, one of the things they say in a book I read, talking about the conscious mind and secret of this earth, law of attraction, he says, stop asking how. See, a lot of us want to know how. How is a good question, but don't think that the guy that put together the light bulb, he thought about how first. No, that's not what came to him. What came to him was the vision. Right? So he didn't necessarily know how it was going to work. He first saw the vision and why it should work. Because God has already made creation of light in the sky. And I know if I could find all the ways of it not working, I could find that one knowledge of why it should work. So first you got to be in love with why it won't work. That's the mistakes. Love that. Embrace that. Man wasn't here because man is bigger than the gorilla. Man is here crawling, mistaking his steps. Then a baby utilizes those small muscles that's building up it through times of saying he can't do it and discouraged, and finally walks. So stop saying you came here walking, came here running, knowing how. No, you didn't. You didn't come here like that. That's not your essence. You came here in this salat doing sajda. And open that up. Accept that as your rise to stand again in creation. Accept that. Don't accept that you were running here, what science would tell you. Some scientific scholars are now saying that is solely wrong. And we could go into Perry's psychological. Earth was the center of this universe. And the same center, they were saying that African Americans were worse than 3/5. Same science. And if you notice, we go into psychology, we still base a lot of our sciences off this central mind, these central figures, Freud. Now, Imam Muhammad, telling you, most of you didn't get it, was even showing us that he was blessed to show us a higher social science than what has been given by these scientists. And this is what you don't get. Most of you still, even in the religion, most of you still going and accepting Freud. You're still struggling with Darwin. You're trying to prove Darwin. You're still struggling with it. You shouldn't even struggle with trying to prove it. Some things are puzzles made for you to touch, and you have to realize that some things are made for you to touch. So stand up in your fitr, or your natural pattern. As God says in the Quran, he made us to be natural and to celebrate that human excellence, that natural excellent pattern that was made when he created us. He created everything in creation with his pattern. He created creation it. Feed your pattern. See, most of you have it. Look at your bodies, just as an example. Your bodies are off. You got cancer. You got these things going on because you have not feeding your natural pattern. Now, if you study creation itself and say, well, I don't want this unnatural sugar. I want the leaf like it's given in creation. I want the meat as it was given in creation. And as enlightened men, what I talked about before, I even want to be able to clean the blood proper. So you got to first acknowledge that when you become religious, the so-called religion and deen, that you are accepting that you are not a slave of anybody but God. So we want a society of workers. Slave in the sense that I'm defining slave as workers. Most people say you're slaving for the white man, you're slaving for this man, but they're all they're really saying is you're working for the white man. So when we say we're slaves, the abd, servant, we want to acknowledge that we are serving God by building. This is not just saying we're making ritualism. We are building a society that should be appreciated by God. Why? Because it's in the natural pattern of the heavens. When God created us, he created society to serve this communal instinct. And I just wanted to touch on that today, that we are facing calls for us to be in tune. You know, the radio and science has a thing where you have to be in tune with science. We want to be in tune with science. We want to be in tune with creation. Many of the ignorant things that we have in our nature, our habits, our environment, mainly not serving us because we have unnatural ideas lingering in our... One of the ideas we have is we consider ourselves black. This will hurt us in the long run. Because, first of all, we are not to be seen as colors more than humans. Yeah, you know, we have a strong ethnic identity, but if we take away our humanity for color, we are making a mistake. And those who thought they were higher colors, whites, come here as whites. They didn't build as whites. They built here as Europeans and Americans. Ethiopians, Egyptians were one time high. So most of us are human family, communal, civilized societies, states, environments that promote our advancement. But a lot of us have been fostered through color consciousness, that I am better because all I can see is this white. And racism is, we see that it's not even really race-related now. We are more color-related. Come in color-coded, color-conscious. To the point where our people are so color-consciousness that it's hurting our people's development. You don't have to be just a victim of the police to turn on BET, Black Entertainment Television, and see what black consciousness is servant. What instinct is a servant? Is a servant a great instinct or a servant a lower instinct? So we want to make sure that we don't serve the lower man, the lower human being. God made us to be high, evolving human excellence, competing to human excellence. The best standard for a human being to move with, to cooperate with, to enlighten those with. Does this mean that we don't help ourselves? No. Does this mean that this human standard doesn't help itself? It helps itself. But we get away from color consciousness. We are not to be seen as colored. That has been one of the worst identities hurting us in myth. Not tied to human excellence and humanity. And really, I told you that racial identity is not even tied to a race. You don't turn on Black Entertainment Television to look at a race. Actually, you see ones lagging behind the race. Show me the real people in the race that's racing. Because when you go to colleges and schools, you see people racing top. So if we can't give a picture of ourselves to show us where we're really racing, such as the Negro days, and those who used the Negro term was showing that they were advancing. Negro and Negro leagues, advancing, on advance. Black has been used as a lag term, as a slack term. So it's not even hurting just what's going on with brutality. It's hurting what's going on with our own identity. It's uncomfortable. Because they are not really connecting to their true identity. Making our brothers in the street disconnected from the real human excellence to march to human. And don't you know, as Negroes, don't you know, as we had the terms color, we were racing towards human advancement. We were being told that we were nothing. We were being told we were nothing. We didn't accept that. Strong will, even as slaves, to say, no, I'm going to show the bigger principle. And we use love. We use the message of the Bible to show this principle that we were better than what we were perceived to be. And I'm going to tell you that 1960s had great help, but it had great hurt on us as a people. We built into the black power, and I saw a movie. I must admit it. I got to talk about this movie. In one of the movie scenes, they showed the president, a European-American president, saying to the, I'm going to use this black power. Support it. And I thought, people, do you not make it mention? Do our leaders not mention this, that's in the films? The butler had this in his film. Black power was used to discredit us. It was used to discredit us as leaders. Because the white man saw where the white power went to, got him at. It got him in trouble with leaders such as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and others. He had to reform. Because he didn't come there like a white power, so why would she leave as a white power? He got there as European American. Okay? So it's important to note these things, my brothers and sisters, that we are coming to new freedom, and we have got great support in building the Block Radius. We have LDS, our companies, doing some amazing things for reforming. Washington, my last note is, we wrestling with police brutality and crime prevention. Well, support LDS. We're giving out more jobs and taught a lot of our people how to not only engage with the law, how to become the law. So you wanna play with this. You wanna march and try to convince somebody to not discriminate towards you. You wanna do what God tells you in scripture, that he sent prophets already. And if the world is still reacting and prophets came, why should they change? Because you came. We have to show the erect structure. Ibrahim, Milla, we have to show it. We have to put up a structure, which is now institutions, business, education, environment. That's how you change your critic. That's how you change your racist. That's how you really are racing. Not being lagged behind, slack, be lack. Lacking, slacking in school, slacking, waiting for the law to change, waiting for the social environment to change, waiting for the welfare reform to change, waiting for to have a nice president to change, waiting for everybody to change but you. You have to change, and you're looking in every major city for change. You ain't looking for real dollars or economics. You're looking for change. And if you ain't careful, like the rappers, with the word environment, that change will be changed. That change you're looking for will be changed. Yeah. Ask me what happened to the dope era. You was looking for change. You wasn't looking for no real industry. Got a little change in your pocket. Thing you know, you had chains on your neck. Looking for change, pimping your woman, selling her on TV. Looking for a little change in your pocket. Next thing you know, she had a chain on her neck, which is mentioned in the Quran when we talk about Father of the Flame. Wamra'atu hamalat al-hatab. His wife to have palm leaf fiber around her neck. Constricted. And you should understand what the palm and what this language represents. Think you handing her something. You ain't handsome yet. You still pretty and cute like the pimp. Pretty man. Cute. You ain't got a dowry. Don't even understand what that represents. And they're all religious. Should be handing her something. And let's hand her an environment, brothers. Let's hand her something. Let's be handsome again. All you are is cute to the establishment. So, New Africa, we're going to end. Thank you for another time. We should have a lecture coming on in a few minutes. Thank you to our honorable and noble audience. You have listened to another edition of Religion Means Alive. And up you mighty community, you can accomplish what you will. Okay? And this is coming. It's beautiful. I see signs. And if you ain't in the signs, you might be getting passed by. So let's see the signs and let's be able to read the Quran signs. Let's not be looking at the TV. I thought y'all was so black. Let me leave you with this. Some of you brothers and sisters were so revolutionary during the 60s. You said things like the revolution won't be televised. Yet, y'all watching TV to see the revolution. You trying to see the TV, what's going to happen in the next march. Who got the next assassination? You watching Channel 7 for your new revolution. That's a shame. Go outside and talk to me. Go outside. Go in your neighborhood and help make your environment better. Help make your life better. Help make your people better. Help make the children better. Stop worrying about what. Turn off the TV. You want one advice that the president gave and I'm giving? Leave the TV alone. Turn it off. Have that courage. Have that courage. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. I guarantee if you taught your youth how to create screenplays and look at plays again like the Harlem Renaissance, you wouldn't even be victims of the TV and victims of stereotype. You are serving the interest. All you hypocritical people. And I'm going to tell you hypocrites. Why? I don't want to call my people hypocrites. But the reason I'm going to end this on this last note, you was talking all this stuff about, oh, people got shot, Trayvon Martin. Then Empire came through one season. They showed you created a whole new satire for the people, supported Fox 5 with billions of dollars, and now you get hit again with another police brutality. You ready to march again, and you're going to turn back on Empire in the season. You are making a jest of yourself and your life. You are doing an injustice to your people, and let's get away from it, and let's show our people the true image of the human excellence. Thank you for another edition of Religion Means Alive with your host, Ismael Kadar. Someone may call me Imam Ismael Kadar. That may be debatable. All right? Religion Means Alive.